Welcome back, Children of the Revolution, to the Audio Educational and Anthology Program. What you're not listening to here in Ace of Spades, PDX.com. And for those of you who were trying to find us on Spotify previously, there's some kind of glitch. Working on it currently. Hopefully should have that up in the next few days. I am Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr., your host, producer, audio engineer, webmaster, researcher, and writer. It's all me here. I don't even have a studio, right? I'm doing this right now on my bed. I don't even have a chair. and making it happen. This is what we call DIY, right? You do what you have. You do what you can with what you have. And thankfully, I'm glad you guys are back. Because today, this is going to really sound very, very odd. But the flaming lips are the new normal. And only in 2020 could the strangest and most off-kilter band to ever probably record for a major label sound absolutely perfect. At various times during their now almost 40-year professional music career, somehow you have probably been, albeit briefly, a fan or foe of the Flaming Lips. In the 1980s, before alternative rock had found its place in the mainstream, the Lips were the soundtracking of your dropping out of college. As one of the first of these bands to sign to a major label, you were also yelling sellout as the Warner Brothers Records logo appeared above the label. You weren't supporting them, but oddly, a year-old album track, She Don't Use Jelly, was discovered on the animated MTV program Beavis and Butthead and gave the band its only Hot 100 single and an appearance on the nighttime teen soap opera Beverly Hills 90210. But then it gets even weirder. After failing to follow up this hit, infighting and drug use not only split up the band, one of the members even developed gangrene from heavy intravenous drug use. Reduced to a trio by 1998, instead of playing it safe, the band released a piece of music that could only be played on 4 mobile CD players in unison. Or not. It is here that this program picks up on the Flaming Lips story. This isn't a full retrospective, with the music in the show only going till 2009. However, it is during this period that the Flaming Lips truly defied all expectations and became not only NPR music program darlings, they also freaked out many of these same people by putting on one of the wildest, most experimental, and imaginative series of releases, including eventually music on a flash drive and a gummy fetus, I can't even make this up, and a live show that is 1977 Kiss meets the cover of the album Disraeli Gears by Cream. After feeling energized by the aforementioned 4-CD experimental LP, Zyreka, the follow-up releases, The Soft Bullet in 1999 and Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots in 2002, were not only commercially successful, they became the Dolby 5.1 music gold standard and won over truckloads of critics, who called the two albums the best of their albums in their respective decades. They were also awarded the first of several Grammys. Never a band to rest on their laurels or play it safe. They released a film, yes, a real film, called Christmas on Mars, primarily shot in the band's hometown of Oklahoma City. Yes, that Oklahoma City. This thing is so indie, it would make the films of Kevin Smith seem like Michael Bay blockbusters by comparison. They also decided again to alter their sounds, in a sense returning to the guitar crunch, high volume, and absolute freak-outedness of their early work with their two highest charting releases, 2006 At War with the Mystics, which hit number 11, and 2009's Embryo, which hit number 8. And by the today's standards, this would almost seem impossible because these albums absolutely had no hit singles. Yes. Later that year, the band would start a series of covering albums for actual releases as titles in their catalog, unlike Fish, who primarily do the same thing annually, only live on Halloween. They would release only 2 titles at the Flaming Lips, albeit much like the multitude of their EPs during the last 10 years, featured numerous guest spots, including artists as varied as Erykah Badu and Henry Rollins. It is during this period from 1998 till early 2009 that the Flaming Lips proved the following. In a surreal world gone absolutely crazy, this music seems completely and perfectly in place, especially for those shuttering in at home for long stretches and going absolutely bonkers, or those on the front lines at hospitals and grocery stores where chaos reigns supreme. Welcome to the new soundtrack of our lives. And today I am dedicating this program to Lonnie Dench of Arizona and his loving family for reminding us all what giving thanks and family are truly all about. And I will talk about him just before our beautiful and very touching grand finale. But kicking it all off, here is from their first album in the series, starting with 1998's Zyreka. And it's different. It's a trip. And the one nice thing about technology now, especially with the multi-tracking equipment I have, I've been able to take these four tracks that were supposed to be played on four different CDs and merge them into one. And this is the first song on the album. And I took a little liberties with it, kind of made it a little Flaming Lips-ish. So this is a mix of this song that is literally not available anywhere else. In fact, every mix of this song, no matter if you're playing it live or doing it any other way, through multi-tracking like I am or through Pro Tools, will always be different. And that's kind of the whole point of the project. This is the Black Gypsy Pug is a Raccoon Baby Now mix. Of Okay, I'll Admit That I Really Don't Understand from Zyreka, and we'll see you in about a half an hour.
Special gift I received from a man that I didn't know very well, but he brightened up the night and made it one of the great shining moments of our long tour. It goes like this. Backstage in Detroit, and the room is full of smoke and apprehension. We've been playing shows as the warm-up and the band for Beck Hansen. In walks Jack, says, "How'd you do?" Then he handed me this wonderful statue, and I said, "Thank you, Jack White, for the fiber optic Jesus that you gave me." Thank you, Jack White, for
comes around. Got a modern, backwards, liberal family code. Brother and sister playing rock and roll and doing it on the road. I bet that van began to stink. Then I you gave me. Thank you.
the failure calls her name. She's decided to hear it out. So come down with me, come down quick. She's not trying to go against all.
And welcome back, one and all, to our very special Flaming Lips, are now the new normal, show here on Ace of Spades PDX, the Audio Educational Anthology Program, What You're Not Listening To, and I'm still your host, Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr. There are no tigers here, just letting everyone know. And let's recap what we've heard in the first part of the show, shall we? Kicking it all off with, okay, I'll admit that I really don't understand Gypsy, Black Gypsy Pug is a Raccoon Baby Now mix from 1998, Syreka. Thank you, Jack White, from 2003's Fight Test EP. And that kind of tells a true story to a point. I don't know if Jack White of the White Stripes, yes, that Jack White, ever gave Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips Fiber Optic Jesus. I know my mother did. Yes, in 2011. She got it at the Dollar Tree. Anyway, Beck and the White Stripes and the Flaming Lips were all on a package tour, and the Flaming Lips were pulling double duty, not only being the opening act for both the White Stripes and Beck, they were also Beck's backing band on that tour. Following that was from the soundtrack to Christmas on Mars from 2008, Space Bible with Volume Lumps. After that, The Sound of Failure from 2006's At War with the Mystics. After that, the Spider Bite song from 1999's The Soft Bulletin. And that, for those of you who are not involved in like heavy use drug culture, junkies will sometimes tell you that some of the problems they're having with the sores on their hands and arms and legs are actually from bug bites. Well, they're not. And that was kind of what I was getting back to earlier in the program, talking about how one guy almost got gangrene. Yes, because that's how serious it can get. And the song we heard, a real heavy psychedelic smoker there from Embryonic, their sole album to hit the Billboard Top 10 from 2009, that is Aquarius Sabotage. Yes, there's a whole bunch of astrology-themed songs on that album. And we're going to be kicking off the second part of our show here. As I was putting this together, only recently has this song taken on a brand new meaning for me. And this is from 1999's The Soft Bulletin. Considering all the coronavirus crazy and all the thousands and now tens of thousands of deaths that are happening here in the United States, everyone's freaked out. Everyone's worried what's going to happen next. And this song, believe it or not, is not your traditional pop song. It's about two scientists who are racing to find a cure against a disease, knowing very well that they could become afflicted and die as well before they find the cure. This is called Race for the Prize. And we will see you just before our grand finale. We'll be right back.
black belt in karate. Working for the city. She has to discipline her body. Cause she knows that it's demanding to defeat the
Now listen, I don't know the dimensions of outer space, but if our ability to feel love turns out to be just a cosmic accident, I'd like to think this means that the universe is on our side.
Thank you.
And welcome back, one and all, to the Audio Educational Anthology Program, where you're now listening to here on Ace of Spades PDX. Still your host, Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr., and all-around Monkey Bear. And let's recap what we've heard on what is now the new normal, the Flaming Lips, here on our show for 2020, here near the end of April, actually near the middle of April. The days just, I know, for some of us just kind of are, where are they, right? I don't even know. Kicked off the second part of our program with a fantastic song called Race for the Prize from 1999's The Soft Bulletin. Following that, from Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots, parts 1 and 2, from the album Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots from 2002. After that, The Sparrow Looks Up at the Machine from 2009's Embryonic, one of the most experimental pieces that they've ever done, which is saying a lot, believe me. Sunship Balloons from 2003's Ego Tripping at the Gates of Hell EP. They released two EPs in 2003, as well as several other singles, including one with the Chemical Brothers. And the song we just heard, possibly my favorite. Yes, my favorite Flaming Lips song. You know, it's amazing when an artist can be around for 30 or some odd years and then just say, put out something, as much as you love all their music, like, man, where have they been hiding that one all these years? That was from 2006's At War with the Mystics. That was The Wand. W-A-N-D. The will always negates defeat. And that happened. Yes. All right. Now, I don't want to bum everyone out, but, you know, lately, and I know this has been hitting so many of you, because I'd like to believe that people who are listening to this actually give a damn, have a heart, are feeling things. They're trying not to. I know there are days I'm trying not to, and I'm trying. It's hard to keep your head above water without being just so frustrated, angry, depressed, sad, fearful, worried, panicked. Yeah, because all the social systems that have been being torn down for the last 3.5 years by our administration that we have been warning you about, us lefties and socialists, and been warning everyone about, that we will need one day. Well, we desperately need them now, and they are not there. And now I don't want to say too little too late, because I still believe in hope, and I still believe that there's a chance, and I still believe that we can rally literally the people together to do something amazing where the government cannot. And that kind of gets us to where this is. We've all had that coronavirus story, more than likely. If you haven't yet, you will soon. It hits home in a way that you just, they are hard to put words together for. And it was hard for me to do this. But I'm recording this the day before it's coming out. This is on the 11th. I'm releasing this on the 12th. Which, by the way, is also Herbie Hancock's birthday tomorrow. Yes. I'm digressing. So, there was a wonderful man. His name is Lonnie Dench. And his name may not sound that familiar to you, but people really found out about him through his loving wife, Wanda Dench. And these are a couple of seniors who are living in Arizona. And Thanksgiving was coming up. And Wanda, a few years back, decided to text her grandson, invite him over for Thanksgiving dinner. Well, she didn't realize it. She didn't text her grandson. This is an elderly white couple. A young black man came to the door, a 17-year-old named Jamal Hinton. And the family were like, sure, why not? And they have been making this a family tradition for the last several years, posting it online and all this and having a great time. And just people who are not from the United States don't understand Thanksgiving. They think it's about a dead bird and a lot of food and all that. No, well, this is the way it happened, kids. So white settlers came here and almost died, starved to death, froze to death, you name it. If it hadn't been for the native populations, you know, instead of building a wall, they built a longer table, helped these people out and kept them from dying. It's kind of the whole purpose behind Thanksgiving. We're all here together in this thing. And in 2018, because I've been following this story for years, and I love hearing about it every Thanksgiving, the lovely Wanda Dench said, family is more than blood. It's the people you want to be with. And why does this resonate so much for me? For those of you who are in dispossessed populations, particularly particularly the LGBTQI community, more than skin color, more than anything else, there's a lot of across the board not liking us for one reason or another because of religious convictions or just being different or weird or people are ashamed of us or we know what it's like to not have a seat at the table, literally and figuratively, to not be welcomed by your own family, you know, to not want to be a part of these events because you know that you're going to be stared at and talked about and made to feel less than. And there's something to be said about when people, queer people, find each other, it's not about blood. It's about the people you choose to be in your life. And that's family. And these are the people and relationships they're going to carry you through to the rest of your life. When Wanda said that, it just hit me so hard. Well, come to find out that yesterday, her lovely and very bearish husband, Lonnie, passed away from coronavirus. And these pictures just of the wonderful dentures and Jamal. And I'm just, yeah, I know. To all the Jamals of the world, regardless of your orientation or your identity, I hope that all of you find people like the dentures and find each other. There is room for you at the table. I hope you will realize that one day. It's just a matter of finding that table. Thank you all for being here. Love to you all. And thank you, Flaming Lips. And I chose this song. And initially, it was not one of my, like, say, maybe in my top 10 favorite songs. It's now like become like this thing I've listened to more in the last 24 hours than anything else. It's a song about telling those people who you love and care about, that you love and care about them. You tell them right now because tomorrow they could be gone. If you have questions, feedback, comments, love letters, dedications, or requests, please drop me a line at daddybenberry@gmail.com. Love to you all. Stay safe. Support those who are on the front lines. Give them your love. Don't give them any drama because they've had more than enough. They need us. We need them. We are in this together. Love to you all. This is Do You Realize?
That you have the most beautiful. you realize the sun doesn't go down. It's just an illusion caused by the world.